Here we go. It's another edition of the 50-50 podcast presented by College Promoters USA, our great sponsors, College Promoters USA. We are actually broadcasting live here in San Antonio from College Promoters USA headquarters. I am here with President Greg Smith. Greg, how are you, sir?
I'm well. I'm happy to have you up here, man. This is cool. I love it.
Absolutely. Happy to be here. So on today's show, we are going to be talking about the evolution of kind of the recruiting process, kind of where it's headed. We're also going to be fielding questions if need be. Again, we are live. You can find us on Twitter at 50_50pod, as well as on YouTube at the 50_50podcast. So send in your questions, anything you might have.
Slapping in a tweet real quick here.
All right.
All right. Cool.
Okay. So again, we are live here in San Antonio at the headquarters of College Promoters USA. We'll get into that a little bit later as far as discussing what College Promoters USA is about, their reach, not just here in San Antonio or in the state of Texas, but really what's kind of starting to become national, right?
Trying, always.
Awesome. Absolutely. All right. So, We're going to go ahead and dive right in. But before we dive right in, Greg, tell me a little bit just how you've been. I know it was last time I was here was back in, day after Memorial Day, June 1st, I think it was.
That didn't seem like that long ago. Yeah. I mean, how you been? Excellent. We're, school year's around the bend. We've been really busy this summer, and I know it's a lot of what we'll talk about too. But as, this process and families are transitioning through COVID. We're just happy to start or get much, much closer to what was once normal for us. Right. It's been excellent, man. I can't complain. I mean, lots going on, of course, out of the office too. And, you and I talk about some of that stuff as well, but, all good stuff, man.
That's good.
I can't complain. That's good. Just trying to work hard and do our best to help these kids who get a chance to help.
Absolutely. So, I mean, like, again, on my side, and we'll dive into it a little bit later, recent announcement that was made. Got a lot of really exciting things going on.
Yeah, I know. There's a lot on the horizon.
I mean, we're about to next week really kind of kicks off the start of the 2021-2022 high school sports season.
It's here.
It'll kick off. I think cross country and volleyball are already added.
Volleyball always ramps.
Yeah.
In my opinion, super early. It always shocks me. I'm like, man, they're playing ball. Right. And like, we're not even back in class yet.
Right.
So, but yeah, it's moving. That's, kind of the reality too, is it never stops, you know, like I had said that before, but like recruiting never sleeps. And even with COVID again, transitioning in and through and, but it's upon us. Yeah. We got football around the bend. Everyone, of course, always gets pumped up about down here in Texas, but volleyball's gonna ramp up here aggressively on the high school side, and off we'll go.
Yeah, absolutely. Awesome. So yeah, and then just like you said, we got football coming up as well.
Yeah.
So very, very exciting times. We're ready to kick off the new year. What a better way than for me to be able to actually do our while we're still in transition.
It's a good time.
While we're still in transition, our first broadcast, here in San Antonio from the headquarters, the mecca,
Welcome to San Antonio, by the way. I know, the big move here, and I know you're still battling some things we're, just honored to have you in San Antonio, and excited to have, just as always, man, good, passionate folks that sincerely want to help these kids. So we're happy to have you in the 2-0, man.
So good to be back.
Yeah.
It's good to be back.
Love
my people back out in the 915 in El Paso. Still with you guys. I miss you guys. But like I said, it's bringing some of that back, not just here to San Antonio, but across this part of the state as well. So we're excited about that as well. So awesome. So we're going to go ahead. We're going to dive right in now, Greg. So tell us a little bit, we want to hit on the evolution of the recruiting process. Right. And two key areas that we kind of wanted to identify.
Yeah.
So kind of a two-parter here for you. So transitioning through COVID,
right.
What have you just that evolution of that recruiting process. Mm-hmm. And what I mean by transitioning through COVID is like where we were right back in March of 2020,
right.
Where things were kind of when we started the summer,
yeah.
Where things are kind of right now. And then also when we can hopefully kind of come around it and post COVID. So this kind of multifaceted transition that's happened through COVID and then also post COVID. Tell us a little bit from your perspective, the perspective of College Promoters USA, kind of the evolving recruiting process. How has it evolved?
So, I mean, and I don't want to spend a whole bunch of time talking about last year and talking about COVID, right? I feel like, you know what I mean, in terms of how it was. Right. I mean, everything was closed. I mean, I think that's what's evolving again is essentially, but things have changed because of it, right? Like as we experience in everyday life, COVID has changed thought processes. COVID has changed the economy. COVID has changed business. So recruiting has changed a lot from it, but where we were a year ago, you know, March, April, May, 2020, everything was closed. Recruiting really, I just got done saying recruiting never sleeps. It really did kind of sleep. I mean, like everything did, you know, we were all, it was crazy. So we've gone from essentially kind of sort of no recruiting process last year to some degree. I mean, to now, the evolution really is just back to normal, I feel like, is what we're doing. But along the way, the thing I sort of like, and I, as much as I hate to, that might be the wrong word to, you know, that I liked about what COVID and just the pandemic have changed in recruiting. But I feel like it's exposed more, it's helped parents. And, you know, you and I talk a lot about the lack of sort of education and just knowledge of recruiting out there. I feel like COVID helped families wake up to the reality that we need to be more proactive with our student athlete.
Right.
If we want this kid to go play, right? Like there was so much understanding, at least from the general public, like, oh my gosh, NCAA, no one can recruit, coaches can't do anything. It's closed. No one's playing, you know, sports got canceled. And so to where we are now, that downtime exposed to parents, like, shoot, now that we come out of that, I think it's kind of, I just feel like it's obvious that everybody wants to play. And I think parents slowly but surely, more than ever before, kind of woke up to, like, if we want Sally or little Joey to go to the next level, like, it's a problem out there. Coaches haven't been able to recruit. No one knows who our kid is. Like, some of the things that they took for granted in terms of what and I want to talk about this a little bit later on in here, herd mentality, right? Like following the herd around.
Right.
There was no herd to follow because it was all canceled. And so again, I feel like that's now helped parents as we are evolving back to normal. We had a good summer. Kids got to play, you know, their select balls and club balls, you know, think the normal stuff happened, camps, combines, you know, you're going to have a club soccer season here. Like, you know, things are getting back to the pre-pandemic scenarios. But at the same time, like I say, and I hope anyway, and if nothing else, any of you listening out there, like if you didn't, or if that didn't kind of light bulb come on, understand COVID now, you know, and transitioning through it and post-COVID, especially the need to get proactive is vital. If you student athletes, if you want to play at the next level, like, you've got to do things to make that happen besides just play. And I feel like that's what COVID helped expose a little bit. So from a positive standpoint, as we now evolve back to normal, I feel like there is at least a little more awareness out there from the general public, moms and dads, that if we're going to help little Joey go play, we need to do some things. And no different, there's a family down the hall. Like, they drove down from, there's a football player right now meeting with our director of scouting, John Michael, that drove down from Austin that, and don't get me wrong, this is a young man we've scouted, a young man we feel we can help, obviously, so that's why we invite him in. But, you know, this young man's one got to understand, and we've got to believe that he's going to engage it. But again, I feel like this is a good example of a family that I think COVID has helped understand, shoot, we're sitting up here at LBJ in Austin, like, why would they just magically come find Thomas? You know, and so when they learn of a program and a company like us, they're like, shoot, we need to get in the car and at least go see. We need to at least go see what these people can or can't do, right? And we can't do it all. We can't do it all for them. But again, the understanding, and I respect it. I love, you know, not only parents across the street from where we are at Reagan High School driving over here and come meet with us, a family, a mom and a dad that are willing to put their teenager in the car on a Saturday and drive down to come and at least see what this company that they've learned about and communicated with can maybe help with. That's good parenting, in my opinion. Even if we never see this family again and we don't get the opportunity to help them, this family's going to learn something today because they were proactive and they took the time to come down. And so that's, I think, the sort of upside to what I feel like is evolving.
Gotcha.
From COVID.
Okay. Great. It's good stuff.
Yeah.
And yeah. And, you know, for our listeners out there, you know, Greg is not, he is not exaggerating. They literally have a football player. What is he? 2023.
Yeah.
2023 out of Austin, LBJ Austin.
LBJ Early College. Yeah. He'll probably come walking through the shot. So just from a production standpoint, we apologize, but great kid. And you know, the little bit of time I spent with him before getting him with my guys, but was just about his passion. And is this something, you know, I understand loving to play football and the sport, soccer, like it's all relative. You gotta love the game, but do you sincerely want to do things? And again, to this herd mentality, away from the herd mentality and be proactive to make sure it happens. And the young man said, I'm just trying to create a better life for my family. And I know I got to get a college education. And I'm just like, bud, come sit down. Like that's what it is all about. And so we'll see. But regardless, like just the messaging and the understanding from parents to get proactive, man. I just I love when I see it, and them driving an hour south to come sit down is good parenting.
Definitely speaks well to what you're saying. Absolutely. Or what you all are doing here for sure. So, all right. So, you know, you hit on something there that I found kind of interesting. Okay. You hit on, as we were transitioning, particularly going into this summer, that herd mentality, right?
Yeah.
So what were, tell us a little bit from your perspective, your staff's perspective here in the office, what were some of those, kind of those summer trends, particularly just, you know, here in the office, the ones that you all had come in, parents and high school athletes, what they might have had to ask, but also particularly on social media, what were some of the trends that you saw unfold this summer?
Yeah. So, and to the herd mentality point, I don't necessarily mean it negatively in that the things that the herd do, I don't want to say you shouldn't do. It's just more about doing more than just what the herd does. And so from, you know, from the summer trends, and it just kind of ties a little bit to how the process continues to sort of re-evolve, for lack of a better phrase, but, you know, families are trying to get back to normal. I mean, we're seeing tons of vacation, right? Everyone's traveling all around. So that was a big trend. I mean, there was, you know, families spent a lot of time getting out because, you know, we were locked up for so long, essentially. And so, you know, clubs took place, events took place, camps, combines were packed this year. And you know, that's where we need to get back to. But that does tie into sort of the herd mentality standpoint. I don't want to say you shouldn't be doing that, but there's more to be doing to separate from the pack, to separate from the herd, to be essentially picked by these college coaches to get to the, you know, to be a part of their program. There's things that need to be done. And the biggest trend, and I, you know, we talked about this on the last podcast we did, whatever that was now already, whatever that was, you know, social media, you know, when you said like, you know, I think it was something I was sort of talking about where I see recruiting going, and we saw it this summer and we're seeing it. Look what we're doing, right? Social media is where recruiting continues to evolve and grow the most. And that's what I saw a lot this summer. And again, I think it ties to not only where I say, I think parents have woken up to the need to get more proactive. So have the teenagers, right? Like teenagers are seeing what other teenagers are doing on social. And so that's causing them to do more of it. And not just Snapchat and Instagram stuff. I'm talking getting out there and really trying to make an effort to show what you're out there doing this summer. You know, like follow the herd per se and go to these camps, play in your clubs, go to these events, go to the tournaments and play. But everyone's doing that. But so do that, but then do some things with that. And bringing it to social is really the biggest trend.
Right.
And heck, I'll give parents some credit and some love there too. I see a lot of parents doing it, and I don't hate that. I mean, you know, there's a fine line from helicopter parent vibes, and you don't want to be this crazy parent that's like, look at my little Timmy all day on social. But somewhere in there, you know, and there's some great individuals up and down social media that put out, you know, awesome tweets and just, you know, great verbiage to motivate, right? And but somewhere in there, you know, if you're not out there promoting yourself and trying to put yourself out there, who is? Like, it's not just gonna like no one owes that to you. Your high school coaches aren't gonna be doing that, especially in the summer. Like, this isn't their job. Like, getting to the next level is on you as the student athlete to convince the coaches at the next level to pick you. And so utilizing social media was a large thing we continue to see. And I think the thing I love most is outside of just football. I think like soccer is a big one. Absolutely. Like, soccer's where I see kids doing it. Absolutely. And somewhere in here, we see our kids doing it, but we're trying to coach that too. That's you know, a big part of what our business is here to do, is not just market your child and you know, video production and create this whole representation of your kid and then market that. That's obviously a huge aspect of our business, but somewhere in here too, it's trying to coach and just give some direction back to you of what you guys ultimately should be doing on your own. And that's a lot of what this chatter, for any of you tuned in that aren't with us, like, take that from this. Take these things we're talking about and go be proactive. The things you see your teammates and other people doing, if you're going to follow any herd, follow the herd that's out there putting themselves out there. Go do those things far more than just playing. Like, and to the summer trend thing, and it relates to some of this other stuff I know we're going to talk about, but really attacking the weight room harder across all sports, I think, is also a heck of a trend. Absolutely. I know football players in offseason, and most of y'all are out there working hard. I was talking to a 2023 volleyball just the other day, and especially 2023s, right? Like, at this stage, you're halfway through high school. Like, this is the halfway mark. It's halftime. Like, you got your fall, and I know we're going to talk about next fall, but like, it's just more than the sport. And I think the weight room is such a key area, you know, at some stage. And I just feel like that age, the junior year, you know, you don't just naturally keep becoming this elite athlete. You don't just naturally jump higher forever. You don't just naturally keep running faster 40 times or naturally keep bench pressing more weight. And there's such a growth. And then it's up to you to sort of facilitate that growth within yourself as a teenager at some point. And that's some trends that I love, that I see a lot of the hungriest kids doing in the summer. But I just feel like there's a lot of you out there that could be working harder on your literal body to then become a better athlete and perform better this fall and spring to come. So gotcha. Social media in terms of the trends, but again, attacking the weight room, really trying to be the best specimen you can be. I feel like kids are even waking up to that more. And then just, you know, trending back to normal is really what we saw. We got to have our AAU seasons. We got to have our club volleyball season. We got to, you know, select baseball, got to play, you know. So that's a lot of what's trending back, but still a lot of changes in there. And there's more Absolutely. To talk about that. So,
you hit on something there, in particular. The question that comes up a lot, and your take on it, what do you have to say, is we may have high school student athletes listening right now. Yeah. And we talked about, they can control the getting in the weight room.
Yeah.
They can control the, to a certain extent, the content that they're putting out there, as far as social media, as far as the, I still call it obviously the character content, right? Yeah, nice. Got to put out good stuff. And that holistic approach, right? If you are a soccer player, obviously we want to be able to tell that you love this game, that you're a soccer athlete,
right?
But also show that you're well-rounded, right? For college coaches, college recruiters, show, you know, you should be putting some stuff out regarding academics. You know, you should be putting some stuff out there that you're doing, you know, within the community, especially in a time like this, right? So I get it. Sometimes it could limit us, but the question I have for you, wanted to get your take on, is what about the kid? There's so many things they can control,
right?
But maybe they can't control, hey, I don't have the pocketbook. I can't afford, maybe mom or dad can't afford to let me go to, you know, forget about two or three ID camps this summer, but just one.
Right.
You know, what do I, you know, what can I do? How can I get creative to stay, to still make, and of course, that's where social media comes in to a certain extent.
Yeah.
But what's your take on that for the student athlete that might be in that position and might find themselves saying that?
I mean, I had a gentleman, a young man that was in our program, went to Medina Valley years ago, Zach Seiner. He's been spending some time back with us. And he was telling his story. See, now people want to call us today. I apologize on the phone, man. It's the weekend. Yeah. I apologize.
Yeah, of course.
So we'll give it a second. But Zach Steiner, young man that came through this program years ago and ended up going and kicking at the D1 level, went on to Oklahoma State. And trying to talk in between rings here. He attributes
might be that same guy.
Success. No, I know. He attributes a lot of his success, to our program. We did a lot for this young man. But at the end of the day, his story is incredible, and we should have him on someday to tell what he went and did to get the attention of the coaches he was trying to play for. And again, the kid ends up going D1, which just makes the story, that much more nice. Awesome, right? Nice. But that's literally not even the point, right? To your question. I mean, don't get me wrong. The kid out there, go chase, get to the top, go. But at the end of the day, relentlessness in trying to break down barriers to get to these coaches. And I know it's such a default answer, and we've already said it a lot, but social media doesn't cost money, the phones do, don't get me wrong. But at the end of the day, if we've got those tools, if we've got access to social media today, we've got access to email today, that's all you need. As wild as that is, and there's influencers all up and down the internet that talk about this today, aside from just college recruiting. I mean, the internet is hyper powerful if you truly will put the effort in. And I think that's the difference, right? I mean, so many want to go, and I say this all the time, you got to go do the stuff that's not the fun stuff.
Right.
And the herd does the fun stuff. The herd mentality is all fun. And I even feel like the weight room, though, eventually gets to the point where that's fun, too. That's got to become fun. But playing and traveling and being on a club soccer team and having all your friends and going to practice and all that, that's fun stuff. Everyone's doing that. We need to do that, but everyone's doing that. The move is when you go home, then what are you doing? Compared to what everyone else on that team is doing. And most kids are on Instagram and Snap all day and whatever. And that's cool. I'm not saying don't be a teenager. But at the end of the day, and this is, Zach Steiner, and we have thousands of these stories, but take a hold of the tools you do have and literally be relentless, breaking barriers down and going and telling every single coach that you would feasibly be willing to play for. And so if that's all of them, like as crazy as it sounds, you better send 1,500 emails and go DM 1,500 coaches and follow and tag and utilize the resources here that can be utilized to get them to notice you. You just have to be prepared for 99 out of 100 to say no.
Right, right.
And
of course, none of this matters. None of this matters if academics aren't cutting it, right? If you have that D1, if you have that D1 talent and that D1 work ethic on the field or on the court, but in the classroom, you're not getting it done, then it becomes irrelevant, right?
They're moving to the next kid. And so to the relentlessness of being proactive and breaking down the barriers, go tell them what you're doing in the classroom too, though. That's part of the conversation. It's not just, hey, I'm all district and look at my film and offer me. Like that's not, you've heard us say, I talk about the talent is not the hard part for coaches to find. And especially today with the internet, how much video can be seen of student, it's not about, oh man, we can't find good enough kids. Like athletically, it's we can't find the right fit very easily. So the goal is to go tell them you're the fit, but then you got to be the fit, right? And so, and that's like where we talk about in the fall what needs to be going on, and some of that varies by grad year and sport. And so there's a lot of variables to that question, and I know it's something to talk about. But the grades, like the academic side, go do the things that aren't fun. Go take some SAT, ACT prep courses. Who's out there volunteering to do these things? The ones that do, and then don't get me wrong, bust your butt and keep playing your game. You still got to be elite. You need to be the best athlete you can. But again, that's the fun part. We have to assume you're going to do that, right? Like who's not going to play? Who doesn't want to go to practice? If we're really chasing college athletics, you're going to go play the game because that's the funnest part of it all, right? So I sort of take that for granted as a guy that runs a business that markets high school student athletes. I know this kid's going to show up for 2 days and hit the weight room. He better, but then it's what else?
Right.
And while the rest of the kids go home and go play Madden and FIFA and you know, chase girls and guys on Instagram and what have you, the kid that goes home and then gets in the trenches till 10 o'clock and knock your homework out too. Like, that's, no one said it's easy. Right. You know, it's just whoever's the hungriest and then literally executes on it all wins. And we do a lot of heavy lifting for kids, but at the end of the day, like Zach Seiner, you know, and again, we have countless others, but his story of taking what direction and what our program also gives him to run with and then run with it. And lo and behold, the kid goes on.
Right. Right.
Goes to college for free, kicking a football.
And something, you know, something worth noting there as well is given, and it's kind of perfect timing, and why we stress, you know, the community piece, the character piece, the holistic approach for our student athletes out there. And not being able to, and not being afraid to share that is because, you know, some of the things that, you know, just this week, right, what we saw with U.S. Olympian gymnast, right, Simone Biles, is like, we, what we're trying to strive here, what I'm trying to strive here, what I'm looking for, you know, in terms of just high, we talk about high character. What does that mean? We talk about leadership. What does that mean? We want you, it's important to be well-rounded, right? That's what we mean by holistic, right? It's, it can't be, because if not, that's where you have the burnout, or that's where, hey, I got that D1, you know, I got that D1 offer. And then within a year or two, things haven't played out quite the way you think. And now, hey, it's either the transfer portal or, you know what, or I don't know if I want to play anymore. Right. So very important. And, so that mental health, that wellness, very important.
And you, I mean, I don't get me wrong. I can talk about it all day too, from 20 years watching what works and doesn't work, who lasts, who sticks, who doesn't. You know, I see the number of kids I see go D1 and then 6 months later are back here wanting to transfer and talk about finding a new home. You know, it's just not all it's cracked up to be at the D1 level. But I think if anyone can talk about it, that side, right? Like the deeper than just the ability side, that's the part I'm so adamant about. Like it's just deeper than your talent. You know, the talent's going to take us to whatever level, but we're not getting to that, to whatever level it is, without the character, the grades, the work ethic, the leadership qualities. And it's not cliche. Like, I know it sounds like, I'll be a leader, and you just sort of in one ear and out the other. Like, it's super real. And a guy that recruited at the Air Force Academy of all places, like that's what I love about your background, and really any college coach, frankly, that's been there and done it,
right,
can speak to it. Of think, you know, when you're out there looking for kids to bring in, and it doesn't even really matter what program, but when you're talking Air Force Academy, the type of person you're looking for is just, and again, you've done it. The type of kid, you know, you look for at the Air Force, much less any collegiate program, it's just so much more about than how many times is he putting the ball in the net.
Yeah.
You know?
Absolutely. So. He is Greg Smith, president of College Promoters USA, based out of San Antonio, Texas. We're here live with him at College Promoters USA headquarters here in San Antonio. Again, you can find us on, send us your questions. We're live. We're here to also answer your questions. That's kind of a challenge for our student athletes out there. You can find us both. Just go ahead and just write in the chat. Go ahead and enter. Send us your questions at, we are live on Twitter via Periscope. You can find us at 50_50pod, as well as on YouTube at the 50_50podcast. So, all right, Greg. So we've talked about kind of the evolution. Yeah. Obviously, we didn't have to hit too much on where we started back in March of 2020.
Yeah.
And we've talked about kind of
nobody wants to remember.
Right, exactly. We've talked about what the summer
yeah.
the summer has kind of looked trends. But now the next step, right? Yeah, we're getting ready. We're transitioning here. New school year. 2022s are entering their final year, their senior year. And then you have your 2023s that are entering that critical year,
massive,
right? So
this
fall, what for our high school student athletes out there,
yeah.
what are some of the things you think, if you can hit on maybe one or two that are maybe critical, what do they need to be doing?
And I hate to like be redundant and repeat some of these points, but it's just so relative. And you know, I've got some notes that I jotted down. But in terms of the fall, right, when we get to this point now and we're back to school is where we're headed, it's very much differs based on how old you are. Like what I would tell a 2022 right now versus a 2023 are different things. And then somewhere in here, if we're a fall or spring sport, right? Like, so if we're a volleyball, football, fall sport kid versus, you know, deeper in later into the winter and spring sports, it's different. So like, if we're not coming into our high school season, the things you should be doing, you know, again, you're going to be sitting in your soccer period, but if we're not, you know, soccer season doesn't start in a few weeks. And again, clubs coming in. I know that's obviously a massive piece on the side for you soccer players, but you know, and I just know it's not that exciting of a response to this, but if we're not coming into season, and I would say at this stage, especially as a 2022, but I think 23s as well, actually, you should be getting in some SAT, ACT prep and spending some time after school. And granted, I know we're going back to school. I know it's been summer. We've had our, you know, been out playing. We've been out traveling, been out having fun. Like, and I know now we got to get back to the grind of class every day and homework and this stuff. That's your job, kids. Like, get in it. But somewhere in here, and you got to remember again what I'm here to help people do, and it's to help you get to the next level, but help you get it paid for and bring these ridiculous collegiate tuition costs down for student athletes. So it's important to understand not everything you're chasing is full rides. Full rides are a rare thing out there, you know, and there's really only a couple sports as true freshmen that ever offer them, frankly. And so it's really important that we don't only just stay caught up in our sport, you know? And again, even football players coming into football, like, I get it. It is now time to go play. You've been in your off seasons. You've been in your camp combine seasons, and now we're coming in. Volleyball, no different. Now, granted, you're coming out of club volleyball straight into high school volleyball. A lot of this stuff never stops. So I think that has to be, like, assumed. The sport never ends. Play it, you know? And football players, the camera's on. That's what this fall is for you football players, is – it's time to go produce the film to then go take to the coaches, because the other real thing here, and this applies to soccer, to volleyball, to football, baseball too, they're not coming to your high school campuses very much to see you. Like, I think it's important people know that college coaches aren't very, I won't say never, but are rarely going to be sitting in the stands watching your basketball game, watching your volleyball game, watching your football games. It's the film that you go produce they're going to see. So that's for the fall. And if you're a fall sport, you need to be focusing on performing to create the film is what it's about, to then go take to the coaches though, and then go take it to the coaches. But while all this is going on, at least, again, if the goal is to get college paid for at the end of the day, these SAT, ACT scores are the other side. And it's just what there's not enough conversation on. And as, in my opinion, as we get back to school and our focus does shift into the books again, where it needs to also, again, even though it's not as fun as playing soccer is, we need to go attack the SAT, ACT, absolutely, and prep for this stuff. And there's a ton of resources out there that don't cost anything. You can go spend money at it too. And there's a lot of great resources, but parents, student athletes, it's not going to consume every waking moment of your life after school. It's something though that if you put some energy in, and again, then go tell coaches, this is character stuff. You go let a college coach know, hey, here's my first 4 weeks of my highlights. And oh, by the way, I'm taking an SAT, ACT prep course. As soon as I get new scores, I'll let you know that too.
Yep.
Like,
yep,
that's way different for a coach to get than just, oh, hey, here's my highlights. Like, so I'm not saying don't send your highlights. I'm not saying don't go compete this fall, spring, whatever it is, go play. But I think the biggest for me is the academic side. As we shift back to the books, you should shift back to the books and, you know, you need to take the toughest curriculum you can in high school, in my opinion, and give it all you have. No different than you do when it's time to lace them up and play.
And you know, you hit on something very important there. When you talk about SAT, ACT, I know this because I've had this conversation with probably about, I don't know, maybe close to 10 student athletes that I'm working with. There's this big misconception right now, Greg, that because of COVID, I don't have to take the SAT, ACT. Not necessarily true. It depends. You have to figure that out in terms of the institution or institutions you're interested in, right? But also, and I'll give you a perfect example. There is something that is in lieu of. So what does that mean? So that SAT can also be SAT, ACT, depending upon the institution you're interested in. There may be additional scholarship money tied to if you take it and the score you get. All right. So maybe they're saying, hey, we don't require it, but if you do and you read a certain, or you meet the certain criteria, a certain score, you are eligible for a particular scholarship, a particular grant. Right. So, and the other thing, I was just on the phone last night, a friend of mine, she's not competing. She's not competing at the next level. This is just a student, mind you, not a student athlete.
That
right?
applies to them more than
right.
even the athlete.
Right. And yeah. she's at A&M right now. She's going okay. through that. Okay. This program I had never actually heard about, the Challenger program, I think, okay. or yeah. if I think I'm getting that right. But anyway, what he was telling me is his daughter's there right now. And it's kind of a contingent in lieu of not taking the SAT. I mean, it doesn't matter with her because she's yeah. squared away. She's getting it done. But it's kind of basically like a 6-week kind of almost little mini academic boot camp yeah. where they're going to basically assess. It's like, hey, can he or she cut it here for 6 weeks, in terms of college academics?
Right.
And then if you're good, then they waive the SAT requirement and you're in, you know. So that's just another example, but I think it's very important to get to speak to that misconception.
I actually love that he's bringing that up because that's what COVID has changed a little bit academically. And I'm a fan, right? Like I'm a fan of institutions. I don't want to say not requiring it, but because of what COVID has done to the student and your ability to learn compared to what we have always taken for granted prior to the pandemic. I it's right. It is the right thing to do. But, and I love that he's bringing it up though, it's no different than like if your coach tells you, well, it's not required, but I'd really like to see you guys, you know, in the weight room over the summer. Like, are you gonna not do it because you don't have to? Like, what does that message send ultimately to your coaching staff? Much less, what is that doing for you as a student?
Playing time is not required either.
Except, yeah. Precisely. And so to that same point, again, it's not as exciting of a conversation. Nobody likes to, even parents, it's not exciting to talk about SAT, ACT prep. That's not fun. It's not upbeat. No one enjoys it for the most part. You know, shout out to those that do. Like, you know, I mean, there are kids that embrace it and you should and try to find fun in it. But with what colleges and institutions have done to lower the standards to get in, that doesn't mean they've lowered the standards to get academic scholarship dollars. And at the end of the day, and I will say this for the next 20 years, there's a lot more money available for you out there, moms, dads, student athletes,
absolutely,
in the admissions department than any checkbook of any sport in the athletic department. And that includes football. Football has the biggest one. Soccer gets a checkbook. They all get a little checkbook to spend to try to field a team with and help your costs as a result of the time and energy your kids are going to give to the sport. The admissions department has way more money. And so again, that is the purpose of my business, is not only to have your kid keep playing this game he or she loves so much. Yes, but let's go do it at the best diploma we can get, and let's go do it at the most affordable price tag. And the way to see those costs come down, especially as a freshman freshman and sophomore year, and you know, most student athletes will actually see more dollars out of the academic side a lot of times as a freshman soph than they do from the athletic side, because as a freshman, you're just not stepping in and going to be the starting center mid. Like, you're just probably not going to do that. And so the amount of money they're going to allocate you from the soccer checkbook as a freshman versus a junior or senior is oftentimes different, but the academic money is guaranteed across all 4 years. So I don't want to say you have to go attack the SAT, ACT. If you don't, you better be taking a heck of a curriculum and bring home a 4.2 GPA.
Yeah.
I mean, like, if you think you're going to go get academic aid, much less just admittance into an institution just because of what you go do in the classroom, again, they're allowing you to get in because let's not forget what colleges are, though. Somewhere in here, they're a business. They need tuition money. They want you to come to their school. And they don't want the SAT, ACT to be a hurdle if you really potentially academically should be coming there. They want you there.
Right.
So they've lowered these standards. But if we want to go get the money, you shouldn't be the one that's like, oh, well, forget it. I don't have to take it. So whatever, my 3.8 is going to get me into UTSA. Yeah, it probably will. But you're going to write the check in full. I mean, aside if you are fortunate enough to get some athletic aid or not. You know, you're going to end up paying full fare. Whereas if you would listen to a little bit of what we're talking about, again, even though it ain't fun, and actually go attack the SAT, ACT now. And I've been preaching this since before there was a pandemic. I've been raving about this since 2003. Like, you need to go put the same effort toward the SAT, ACT scores that you put into your game. But if you do that now, again, transitioning out and through COVID, as we get post-COVID, those are the things not only that's going to qualify for more money, but those are the things that that college coach is going to be actually more impressed with because you went and did it, as opposed to just not because you didn't have to.
Yeah. Yeah. You know, a four-year decision for the next 40 years of your life, possibly.
Right.
It's not limited to just where you go to school or where you choose to play. It's kind of also limited to in terms of what you will pay, you know, if you're not cutting it academically and be a student and you got to get those student loans versus if you're getting school paid for, right? It's a big difference when you're graduating, when you got that paper and you don't owe money, right?
At least in our opinion.
Because I've heard the horror stories. Yeah. I've heard the horror stories on those these college loans. And
it's a crisis. National crisis. Yeah. Student loan debt. And don't get me wrong, there's a whole conversation about what to do about it. Let's not go there. But at the end of the day, like, it's a problem. And at least for my little girl's 8 years old, but I know this world really well. I guarantee you, I mean, now it depends on what she wants to go do. I don't know. But at the end of the day, if my little girl goes to college and she's not going to come out saddled in debt, and she'll have the same piece of paper she deserves to have, whether or not gymnastics or whatever sport she goes is included or not, like, there's no reason, to necessarily be coming out and a part of the crisis and buried in $100,000 of debt.
Right.
It just doesn't always have to be that way. And to the student athlete, especially, you do have leverage that, like you mentioned, the student doesn't have. Like, when you play a sport and you bring that to an institution, they will reward you. And so don't get me wrong, the D1s will reward you the most. They got the biggest checkbooks. But all the way down D2, D3, NAIA, even junior college, like, there's roads to go get this college thing paid for, get a heck of an education, come away with a piece of paper, not saddled in debt, and set up to go have a heck of a career in whatever you're trying to go do. And student athletes, you just got to do more than play the game. Go hit these SAT, ACTs too, and you're more likely going to come away with a free college education than not.
Absolutely. Absolutely. So again, not making it about COVID,
right?
But we are talking about how it is inevitable to not talk about it on some level, right?
I mean,
but
we're still dealing with it.
How we've adjusted, how you have adjusted, how College Promoters USA has adjusted. What would you say the one, if you can identify one, what has been maybe the biggest strategic adjustment you all have made during the pandemic and that you will carry out with you post-pandemic?
So, like I talk about, where like it exposed parents and student athletes a little bit. They just learned, like, man, we need to do something. Otherwise, our kid's never going to be found. We're all locked down, right? Expose that. It, as a business owner, it sort of, it exposes things for me too, right? Mm-hmm. And so really the biggest thing that I've, intentionally taken a more sort of aggressive approach to is what I'm sort of, B2B, right? Like business to business. B2C, and C being, not just coaches, but like our business to clubs, our business to coaches, our business to, and the biggest C, the community. And it, you run a business for a long time, you get in habits, right? Like, you get in just a steady process and years fly by. It's crazy. And so, I'm excited about it though. It's again, it's one of these upsides to what COVID has done, is it's sort of helped sort of reawaken our desire to want to go back and reconnect again, per se, with the community, with coaches, with clubs, so all of those seeds, whether it's high school coaches and club coaches too, it's so all of it. And here's, look what we're doing. Right. And so, but then the biggest, sort of thing, any of you out there watching, but it's led to, our new announcement that I assume we can roll out. I'm super pumped to announce Coach Hector as our new director of soccer. We just announced this last night on social officially. You can see his I would say ugly mug, but it's not
gigantic head.
Pretty mug right on the front of our website.
Gigantic head.
No, but like, really excited to announce. And again, the pandemic has helped do this. And it's not just soccer that I'm only trying to solely focus on by any stretch.
There's nothing wrong with that either.
No, but I actually feel like where we are, and we've talked about this before, and it's why I've tapped Hector, and I'm pumped that he's coming on board with us. He's a busy guy, so he's stretched pretty thin as it is, but we're super pumped to get our hands on him and his expertise and just your experience, man. Like, you know, again, 20 years just in all the sports, you know, there's nothing like individuals that have been there and done it, but then somewhere again, and not to, you know, stroke him too much, but just, he's a good man. Like, this is a good human being. And as cheesy as maybe that sounds to y'all out there, like, that stuff matters to me. Everyone that works here, even clientele that I bring in, like, I only want good people. I don't need noise. I don't need drama. I don't need it. And there's a lot of people out there that love what we do and would love to be a part of it. But you know, I'm only looking for good folks. So super pumped to have Hector, you know, moving forward. I'm really trying it. And again, I need Hector's expertise really to do it right, I feel like. But to really make a strong foray into the community to help you soccer families out there, even if nothing else, just educate you. Like even if I don't get to meet any as a result of you know, connecting with Hector and really making a stronger push out to the community. We just want to educate you folks out there in a ridiculously growing sport. I feel like, I mean, it's the fastest growing. I feel like it's the fastest growing here, frankly. I mean, football is king. It's Texas. But, you know, compared to all sports, I feel like the fastest growing. And again, especially here in San Antonio and South Texas. But soccer is just, you know, coming. And there's so much opportunity out there. And there's so many boys and girls, obviously, that in this community, the whole state, the whole, much less the whole country, that don't get the exposure, that don't get found. I feel like just south of Austin, even, it's a problem in Texas. You know, south and west of Austin, I feel are aggressively under-recruited in every sport, but soccer especially. There's just, you know, there's amazing talent here, and not enough kids get the opportunity to go play, and you could. And that's not just because of us and what we could do. But a lot of what we can do and what we can teach you and educate you on. And so that's why I won't let him leave and why he's our director of scouting, director of soccer now, and just really excited for what we're going to be able to do together. And
absolutely.
And get out there and help these families, man. Right. Educate them.
Right. Yeah, absolutely. You know, equally excited.
Yeah.
Just beyond excited, I guess. I don't want to get going on this too much because then it'll kind of take over the podcast, excited to be, you know, excited to be in my, you know, adopted home here in San Antonio and the things that we're, you know, the things that we're getting ready to do. We'll talk a little bit more about that later, but I'm humbled. I'm grateful to be able to be part of, you know, kind of like how I hit on my mentioned on my message yesterday, just with very, you know, good quality people, community and industry leaders. You know, a big thing that attracted me to College Promoters USA is you guys are homegrown. You know, grassroots.
It goes back to your dad.
Yeah. And you know, over 25 years here, you know, he started here in San Antonio. So
I'm a Lee alum, Lee High School, and the soccer space, man. Shout out Lee High School again on the state championship.
I knew you'd get
so
in.
I had to do it, man.
Yeah.
I knew you'd get
that shamelessly plugged.
Balls, so,
All right. So, all right, Coach. So we looked at it a little bit from the College Promoters USA perspective.
Right.
One thing for our high school athletes that are out there listening, one thing that you've really been able, that really stands out to you, that where their needs have changed during the pandemic and now post-pandemic, where you think it's going to be a permanent maybe adjustment, where their needs have changed as far as it in relation to the college recruiting process.
Yeah, I mean, I don't think it's a new need. You know, I think the biggest need, and again, I feel like people have been more exposed to it beyond just us trying to expose you all to it out there in the community. But, you know, the need to seek real help, you know, and that's not at all to take away from what everyone's out there doing, you know, clubs, whatever sport it is, that is not at all a dig at you know, any of the systems out there that you all are a part of. But it's a big reason why, you know, we're bringing Hector in from the soccer space, but just the understanding that they don't really know what to do. Athletes need help. And somewhere in there, the reality too, and again, this isn't necessarily a new thing. I just think the pandemic has vaulted it even higher. parents don't know what to do either. And that's okay. You're not supposed, how would you? But like the student athlete is a teenager. They know nothing. Like, right. Like, and I love the kids, but like, they don't know what's going on. Right. And, but when the reality is that, you know, 99 out of 100 parents out there, for the most part, also don't know what to do. That is what, to me, you know, and again, the pandemic has further exposed, that's the biggest need is, what do I do? Someone help me. And, you know, I just feel like people don't even know necessarily where to turn for help, which then at least from my little world is to the B2C thing, why I want to now take a reapproach to help you folks at least understand there is help here, at least to educate you. Even again, even if we don't work together, like there's information to be had here, and our door's open. You know, I mean, we meet with families by appointment especially, but you can walk in too and come in and go, hey, how do I get my kid recruited? We're not going to kick you out and say, sorry, you're not in our program, we can't help you. I mean, so, you know, the need to get help to get recruited is what I think the biggest need is out there, man. I, not that there aren't great clubs and awesome coaches and you know, individuals out there trying to go above and beyond even what, you know, you are required to do as a coach. There just isn't enough of it. And that's normal. That's okay, right? I mean, it's not about, you know, people need to be doing more for these kids. I just feel like everyone's doing everything they can, but the reality is there just isn't that much knowledge out there. Not that many people. If we really get real, not that many people in the 210 area code really know what to do, you know? And but that's why businesses and that's why services exist.
Where to begin? Yeah.
Yeah.
Where to begin? Yeah, so, absolutely. So again, we are live. Send us your questions, please, comments, anything you have. Man, you know, we have again Greg and myself. There's JM running by. All right, busy. So again, we are live. You can find us both on Twitter via Periscope at 50_50pod. Send in your questions as well as on YouTube at the 50_50podcast. Again, we are coming to you live from College Promoters USA headquarters here in San Antonio. And where can you find College Promoters USA as far as social? You can find them on Twitter via at SATX Recruiting or Instagram. You can find them at College Promoters USA as well as on their website at collegepromotersusa.com. So, all right, next one. So here is
we're right out here off 1604 on Blanco too. Yes. So if you folks, you know, here local tuned in, or heck, if you come to town, like just, you know, I tell families all the time, like walk in, make sure, come check us out on a Tuesday at 3 o'clock and make sure we're not slacking off.
Ventura Plaza, yeah, is that
Ventura
what it is?
Plaza.
Ventura
Plaza, yes. We're 1604 in Blanco, right between Blanco and Stone Oak, right on the eastbound access road here. We're in the shopping center where the new P. Terry's is going in. We've been all summer listening to trucks and beeping and jackhammering for the past like 90 days, and they're still, whoever's putting the P. Terry's in, let's get it moving already.
There we go.
But 604 in Blanco Ventura Plaza, y'all come see us anytime. We're always here.
Yeah, absolutely. Thanks for mentioning that.
Yeah,
I appreciate that. All right, so here's the big can of worms that we're about to open up. Like, so we're going to try to contain it a little bit because if not, this is a whole other episode, literally. Yeah, yeah. But talk a little bit, maybe hit on just one or two things the impact of the big one, the big monster that I, in my personal opinion, kind of, just this is just me speaking, my humble opinion has been, it is the first big domino in what I feel is going to inevitably be the, I don't know, for lack of better words, the collapse of the modern day NCAA, which is so the NIL, the impact of the NIL, the name, image, and likeness policy implemented by the Supreme Court for high school or for student athletes at the collegiate level. What's your thoughts on that?
So, I mean, I don't think we can deny I'll just say the adults like it or not. It's great for the kids, guys. I mean, somewhere in here for their ability to go capitalize on this, it's good for them, right? Like, I mean, somewhere in there, that's a positive for any collegiate student athlete. I mean, we've seen local, I saw some local soccer girls and We've had a couple of our athletes inform us on some things that they've had the opportunity to do. We've got a young man. I won't hair names out, but he's got a big old beard. He's on the old line at a big school, and some beard shave company. So I think it's great for the collegiate student athlete to have the ability, if nothing else, at least to be able to go do some stuff, whether it's with a car dealership or a beard shaving company or whatever. I think it's great for the kids. However, the other side, I don't think.
However, comma was coming.
There is no denying
right.
This is a nightmare for, and I don't want to just say like the adults or, you know, the administration, but these institutions, and then somewhere near the coaching staffs, like there's going to be a lot of fallout in a lot of different ways that are not positive to the soccer program, because that forward is now more focused on his live stream that he's doing for the local soccer shoe company. Like, whatever it is, it's going to distract. I mean, if, and again, there's a million different things that I think we can talk about that this will do to erode the norms that we've all just sort of been used to with what and how the NCAA operates and how student athletes operate within it. So it's a nightmare for coaching staffs. It's a nightmare for the entire institution, I think, frankly, to some extent, because you're now going to have kids entering contracts, you know, they have, to, yeah, I mean, and they got to monitor, you know, the institution now has to protect their trademarks and logo, you know, like any business, you know, their logo, their name, their likeness as an institution can't be exploited by that student athlete, or they want money too. Like, you know, and so now these institutions now have to implement new employees. Like, there's new oversight now that has to be sort of, or is going to continue to be brought in to make sure that these student athletes now don't, for lack of a better way to say it, I guess, don't get paid for something they maybe shouldn't, or for something that maybe the institution shouldn't too. So it's just money, you know, I think at the end of the day, and, you know, root of all evil, and there's all these things about money, right? That the NCAA really has worked hard for a long time to try not to get in the way of their association. And so to your point, I think you're right. As much as I also hate to agree with that of, I don't know that I'll say collapse, but I will say, erosion or just flat change.
It's going to be a serious shift.
It's just a different, it's going to be a different organization now. The NCAA is different now, and it's going to continue to evolve differently. And there's definitely downside to it.
Why I use the particular word, I guess, for lack of a word, collapse, is,
it's not out of bounds though.
Is because I don't think now, while these conversations have been said that they've been going on for probably at least 6 months, you know what I'm getting at here is, I don't think it's also a coincidence that boom, that NIL domino drops.
Right.
And then what was the other big news that dropped last week?
What are you talking about?
We talked about UT and OU to the SEC. So that's, again, it's how much longer before, right, your power five, so to speak, which is about to possibly become
power four,
power three.
I don't know. Right?
Yeah. So it's just, and that's usually how the change comes. It's one domino and then the next one, the ripple effect.
Well, you know what I was thinking about is a very real problem that's also going to evolve is kids now, you know, and unfortunately, or really more in the D1 space, right? Like, let's be real. I think that is what this impacts Division I athletics more than any other division. That doesn't mean D2 student athletes, D3 NAI, like you can go, you know, go get any likeness and any opportunities you can for yourself too.
Right.
But this is going to impact the Division I world the most. I think the biggest thing, and I would just, you know, as you start chewing on like ripple effects and like what else can pan out and unfortunately happen, you're going to have kids now looking at, well, if I go to UT, I'll have access to this sponsorship, this company,
this booster,
this local brand.
Right.
Whereas if I go to Norman, Oklahoma, there's a guy up there that owns a car dealership, and he always writes checks to the running backs at OU. Like, so, and much less the California opportunities. And so I think it, I don't know that I like that. Right. Whereas I do, I'm always on the side of the student athlete, and I always want to support the kid over the big money dominance and power. Right. But yet now this, I'm afraid, is going to have kids making decisions on where they commit more so on what kind of money they can make because they go to Oregon versus OU, UT, A&M. Whereas the old thought was only, well, if I go here, I got a better shot to go to the show. I got a better shot to go pro if I play here versus here. While that's still a thing, it's now more about money from 18 to 22 than what money am I going to maybe be able to make from 22 to 35 because I went here. Yeah. So,
and I think for some people,
it's crazy.
I think that becomes, I think that becomes the issue, is the possible, I guess we can call it, or I think of it in terms of what is that possible fallout in terms of that, as they call it, I call it the, in my own head, I guess, the law of unintended consequences, yeah. Right?
Well, from like, a coach perspective, right. Like you,
yeah. What could that? Yeah.
How are your kids going to change now? Like,
right.
You want them focused every day.
Right.
You risk losing focus. Yeah.
Right? Or does it also run the risk of kind of maybe dividing or further dividing athletic departments in terms of, hey,
yes,
this is a D1 program, this is a D1 school, but all of these sponsorships, boosters, this primary money, mm-hmm. it's going to go to just football, or it's going to go to just football and basketball. Does that create a, you know, how will that affect, you know, coach recruiting and coaches' decisions to going to maybe for jobs at different places?
That ripple effect will then affect coaches. Right? Yeah. Like those are the things.
Yeah, again, in your talked world, about the can of worms. That's why. That's why.
And it is a can of worms. That's what the NCAA is done by, or essentially the Supreme Court with the law and the whole. It's open a can of worms now. Yeah. The only thing I will say, and you know, the NCAA is not perfect, right? And I don't think there's some flawless organization that doesn't have any blame over the past, you know, 50 years of things we can point at of stuff. But I think then what also will happen on sort of the reverse end, where we worry about, man, the fallout of this, that, or the other, the coaches, what happens with the kids, their focus, blah, blah, there's a million things. The NCAA now, though, will respond with its own regulations. Like, you're going to see the NCAA counter whatever fallout we start seeing that becomes a huge issue, whatever it will be, the coaches will be talking about it. You can guarantee the and in every sport,
a new branch of compliance is going to be
100%.
Born. It will be born
and constantly be added to. There's going to just, right. They're going to constantly do their best to regulate this to the best of their ability to keep it as muted as they can, while still giving the student athlete their freedom and their flexibility to go earn, but also making sure these institutions aren't impacted to the extent of some of the things we've touched on. And there's other things that will evolve that we won't even get into today. And so I think we have to try to hope to the best of our ability to see the NCAA be a strong organization and do what they need to do to counter this, to make it so it's doesn't lead to the collapse of, you know, the NCAA we want to. Right. So I think that's what we have to be prepared to see. We'll see.
Yeah. Yeah. So again, he is Greg Smith, president of College Promoters USA. We are live here at College Promoters USA headquarters here in San Antonio. Please send in for our athletes that may be listening, high school athletes, or maybe you're even a college athlete, right?
Yeah,
and you're listening right now and you're just like, hey, what did I just stumble across here? Send in some questions. Send in some questions for sure. Yeah. We're here. All right. So next one, Greg, I'm going to kind of put you on the spot here a little bit. You have a room full of parents here.
They all have
high school athletes or soon to be high school athletes, whether they're just incoming freshmen, right? Or maybe in middle school, eighth grade, seventh grade.
Yeah.
And they're kind of like, hey, we're an athletic family. My kid's an athlete.
Yep.
You know, what do I need to know? So if you could share with them maybe one thing, what's one thing you'd share with a room full of parents, just in general regarding the college recruiting process, what would you share with them?
Right. And And I touch on this, in some of our other chatter, right? Even with the student athlete, but we didn't go all the way into it. Parents. I feel like parents are the ones, dictating the path for most of these teenagers because they're teenagers and you're the parent. Avoid herd mentality. You can't just do what you are watching everyone else do in front of you, because the reality is it's not working for everybody, right? Like the herd path that everyone just does leads to about 1% of high school student athletes going to the next level. So if the goal, this is the, if it's a room full of moms and dads, much less one mom and, one family student athlete, mom and dad in front of me. If the goal of the room is to see our student athletes continue to play at the next level, and obviously the highest level we can, and go get the best diploma we can, and go get this thing paid for. If that's the same goal, if you share the goal of what I'm about trying to help you do, you've got to avoid the herd mentality. You can't just do the same thing everyone else does and then wonder why it doesn't work for you, when inevitably for 99 out of 100 of you, it won't. Or I should say, it won't to the extent that it could have or should have. I think, way too many people go down the club road, one or two kids in front of them go to college. And then I guess my confusion always with the incoming moms and dads behind them is, you watched the kids in front of you. You watched who went, and it was a couple of them. And there were two, three others that could have or should have went and just for some reason didn't go play college ball. I guess I just don't understand the logic of the parent to think, why do you just assume your kid's going to be one of them? And I hope he is or she is. We want them to be able to just play and go through the herd route, and it just works. But the reality for, again, even if I say 98%, if I give 2% out of, 100 that can just play a game, lift some weights, graduate high school, and then there's just a coach waiting for them to just take them, that's, you're asking a lot, and that's where, go talk to other college coaches about it. They'll tell you how hard it is to be the one they choose. I mean, it's a numbers game. So avoid the herd mentality and do what others aren't doing. Go, you need to play, you need to do what the herd does, but in my opinion, do more. And I know that's easier said than done, right? It's easy for me to just do more for your kids. At the end of the day, you need to push your children, and we touched heavy on it though. SAT, ACT, essentially grades. You need to be doing all you can as parents to maximize GPAs, class ranks, and more so SAT, ACT scores in the end, again, if the goal is to get college paid for. And again, I know that's not as fun of a topic. That's not fun to sit Timmy and Jamie down and be like, all right, we need to go find a prep program because we're going to put you in something for 6 to 8 weeks that, two nights a week you're going to spend an hour working on. They're not going to want to do that. But those are the things as parents. You got to do the hard stuff, not the fun stuff. Go do the fun. Go play. Go travel around. Go stay in hotels. Go spend 10 grand every summer running all over the place playing your sports. Go do it. I would advise, make sure the camera's on, if nothing else, because the odds that college coaches are just at your fields or at your games or at your camp or at your AAU tournament and your kid was so amazing that they just got to come find out who she is, those are low odds. And I feel like everybody plays this process just hoping. Stop hoping and go put it together. And so I think the one thing I would say in terms of avoiding the herd mentality, and this is, I feel like, things human beings struggle with, seek help. Go find help. And I touched on earlier, I know there's not a lot of help. That's the reality. There isn't a lot of places for moms and dads to turn to go try to go, how do we make, to go try to figure out, how do we make this happen? And the sad part for me is that so many of you get jammed up by these .coms, the NCSAs of the world that telemarket you to death and overpromise you of what they're going to do for you. You get roped into that because they get to you first. You don't know I'm here because I don't spend millions of dollars because I don't have it like they do. They'll buy you. They buy the clubs. It's all money driven. That's how they get to you. and they sell you on this .com thing, and then you think that's just going to do it. And because they don't talk enough about what we talk about, of we can do a lot for you, but don't hire us if you're not going to engage and go do what others aren't doing. And we're here to give you all that direction. So avoid herd mentality, seek help. And I would just say, if you don't feel like you have anywhere to turn, if you see this, you should know there's an outlet right here to at least come get some answers from, even if we don't work together. Yeah. And so avoid the herd mentality, do more. Academics, I would say, arguably are the biggest. Weight room, and just seek help in how do I now go tell my child's story to the people at the next level that ultimately make the decisions.
Absolutely. You know, and we hit on it a little bit, well said, very well said. We hit on it a little back in the beginning is for our high school student athletes out there, you're listening to this. It is important that for a number of reasons, not just for to get, not just for the college admissions, but also for your own, we talked about mental health, the well-being, right? I know the one thing that'll tick off most athletes is to be thought of nothing more than an athlete, a jock, right? So it's important, you know, be involved in your schools, be involved in your communities. What do we mean by that? We've talked about the SAT, ACT prep,
I know, right? I haven't talked enough on that.
We've talked about national, you know, make it a point, you know, it speaks volumes of you when you're involved. Maybe you're National Honor Society, National Spanish Honor Society, whether, you know, clubs, student body, whether you're part of, you know, you don't have to be the president, but these different types of clubs, organizations with your high school, your high schools create that, all kinds of different councils. It's very important because you want to be able to interact also with students, some of your peers that aren't just student athletes, right? That aren't the same as you, because that's what you're going to encounter at some level, at some point, when you get to college. The beauty of when you do go play at the next level and you're part of a team is you have an immediate built-in support network. Right. But obviously, at one day, whether it's at the college level or if not after college, right, you're going to have to go out there and you're going to have to be part of a bigger team that does not come from the same background as you, does not look like you, does not have the same, you know, interests as you. And then you have to be able to coexist on a whole new type of team. So very, very, very important. So that's one thing I kind of want to hit on.
There's so many outlets. And that is something normally I talk a lot about. And I apologize because you did mention that phrase earlier too. And I even talked about it from like B to C, right? Like business to community. And these are things that unfortunately we were also then muted from COVID to being able to try to help our kids do. We did a really cool deal. We'll be doing it this year. And you'll love this. And Andy Brown, our vice president, who spent 3 decades in youth ministry and has some awesome ties into the community to give back. And we did a really, really awesome thing. Some of you in our program were there and came out, and the turnout was awesome. Thank y'all again for coming out. But it was right. It was just pre-pandemic, like fall, you know, 2019 winter, and just community service. Like, it doesn't only have to be the high school stuff too, but to his point,
right.
And this is where, again, like, go take the toughest career, like NHS. You get nominated for NHS, you need to get in NHS. And the best thing, in my opinion, that NHS does is they require community service hours from you to be a part of that institution and that organization within your high school, so that then you get to use that powerful 3-letter words. Like, go tell a college coach you're in NHS, you're a pal, you're on the chess team, you are in the choir. Like, things that some of you think are like nerdy are things that a college coach is going to literally love, and it separates you from the rest of the others. You know, we use the simple, just imagine you're the college coach and you're looking at Janie and you're looking at, you know, Sally, and Janie's got a, you know, 980 SAT. It's enough to get in, you know, it's nothing crazy. And she's a stud. Like, she puts the ball in the net. She's a heck of a ball player. She got a 980. She's not really in any group. She's got a 3.1 GPA. Stud. But then you got Sally. Sally maybe had a few less goals than Janie, but the girl's obsessed with the game, is a diehard worker. She's got a 3.9 GPA. She's in NHS. She's got a 1310 SAT. You know, she's a part of her pals at her high school, or, and she does community service with her church every couple years. And, you know, these things about her, and you're looking at these two girls. I'm not saying Janie's never getting picked. Don't get me wrong. I'm not saying the studs don't get picked, but somewhere in here, the things these coaches look for, because they need you to keep working. It's not like they need you fresh out of high school and you're ready to go and you're the greatest you're ever going to be and you're ready to play now. It's, you're 18 and our starting forward's 21 years old. We need you to be that elite quickly, and the kinds of kids that are going to come in and be that and work their butts off to get to that 20-21 year old, you know, athleticism and maturity and leadership, are the ones that at 16, 17 were doing community service, brought grades home, you know, took care of their communities, picked up trash, were in NHS. And again, there's a million things to do. You don't have to be the president of student council, but go to a student council meeting, you know, and then make sure coaches know that, though. Those are the kind of things in your process as you're communicating with coaches. Tell them. Don't just tell them I got new film. You don't only just tell them you got all district or I had a hat trick tonight. You should also tell them, hey, I got my first phone call from another program tonight. Hey, just a heads up, coach, I got my first SAT score. It's a 1100, you know, but I'm going to take a prep course, and I know I need to bring this score up, and I want it to be as good as it can be. Hey, coach, just a heads up, I'm doing some community service. I thought you'd just like to know that about me. You know, we went and helped, you know, paint some homeless shelters with my church on Sunday. Check out these pics. Like, that's the stuff not only you need to, and this is the stuff we try to inform coaches on you too when you do it, but those are the things where we talk about avoiding the herd mentality, doing more, and then somewhere in there, though, with or without help, go tell them you're doing it. You know, go, don't be shy to tweet that you went and fed the homeless yesterday or went to the food bank with your mom or at Christmas, you know, donated some presents down to the angel tree, or just, there's a million things to do.
Right.
And if, and when you do them, don't be afraid to tell somebody, most importantly, the college coach, if we're trying to get there.
And the reality of it too, is I think it's a great point, is you're not doing it for the sake of telling the world about sharing it, telling a coach about it. You're doing it because you'll be surprised and you'll be amazed at who you become in the process, what you learn about yourself. And, you know, and you're interacting there with other people. So very important, very important.
And just
so,
giving back. Like, I think, as not to get like super spiritual or anything on that, but at the same time, like, life's crazy. And just when you put good energy out into the world, it's funny how often life rewards that, you know, people that really do try to go do good things. And then do them, don't just talk about them, but physically go even once, go feed the homeless and tell me later that day how you feel about yourself. Yeah. Like, and then watch sometimes, and it may not be tomorrow, and it may not, it'll be 20 years down the road. I don't know. You don't even know, but life will reward, you know, the person in motion, the individual out there trying to give back, the individual out there executing, and college recruiting is no different. And you student athletes and parents, if you'll take a hold of it and really go just log the hours, go through it. You got to do it. It takes time. You know, start now with your junior or sophomore and start bombarding these coaches with them, and don't stop until they graduate or until they commit. But if you'll do it and you'll see it through and you'll be consistent, you'll be surprised how this process responds to you. And again, life is no different. When you go give back to it, it's funny how life can reward you sometimes.
Absolutely. So, well said.
Yeah.
All right, coach. So we start transitioning here. We start getting ready to wrap up. Just tell us a little bit. We've hit on some bits and pieces.
Yeah.
You talked about my big head on your website a little while ago, but tell us just kind of for the listener out there, whether it's the parent, high school student athlete, what does College Promoters USA, what do they have planned this fall? We hit on the fall a little bit, right in terms of what athletes should be doing, but you all, what do you all kind of have planned this fall and in the near future?
So, and again, some of this is with you, right? And we'll collab on this. And again, I touched on it from the B2C thing. A big thing we're, you know, really going to be trying to focus on, because we now can, with COVID lifting, and we're able again to, you know, feel, you know, able to invite families in, right? And get back out in the communities and get out there and engage events. a big thing we're wanting and excited to be doing is bringing events and literally opening our doors to the general public, you know, whether or not you're in this program or not, and really hosting things here in house again, and inviting you moms and dads and kids in here to be able to, you know, to literally be sitting here so that you can raise your hand and go, well, I get to play softball. What do I do? You know, we really want to do that. And so we're going to be doing a lot more of it with Hector. We're going to be doing much more in the soccer world, of course, as that's where his expertise lies. So super excited to be, you know, in that soccer focus. But heck, and you got to meet him. And shout out Shane Davis here. I've got a great new individual as well that we've brought out into the big country section of our state here up in the Abilene region. Shane's born and raised up there, been up there a long time, and we're excited to have him on the ground. He's out there trying to connect with families in the region and bring this message, meeting with them locally, face-to-face. So we're excited about that. Shane is now trying to help, and we've got our hands on a couple of great kids already from the area, and we're excited about it. Shout out James Doe. We're excited to have you with us. All right, I apologize, Jacob. I don't know if it's DX. I haven't gotten the exact verbiage on your name, if you see this, bud, but welcome aboard. Pumped to have Shane out there. And again, in-house events. We're going to be out on campuses, though. We are an exclusive recruiting support and affiliate with Northside ISD here in town. So you're going to see us out on various campuses at Northside. We intend to try to be able to invite the general public there as well, and not just families within those high schools. But, you know, not everything's, of course, up to us. But keep an eye out. Try to follow us. I hope some of you will watch what we're doing and especially make a point. If you catch wind of it, we'll, of course, be announcing all this different stuff on social media as we get dates in stone and we get this stuff put together. And we've got some trainers out there. Shout out Jim Swift with Swift Performance. Swift's going to be teaming up with us. We're going to be doing, hopefully before school starts, but it may be shortly after Labor Day, somewhere in there. But we want to do a sports kind of performance, strength and conditioning open house as well, not just only in the recruiting chatter. So really the biggest thing for us, though, is just being able to get back out there, shaking hands with you guys, inviting you in, and of course, taking ourselves out there as well and putting on some good events on various campuses. Heck, I'm hoping to be able, you know, to do some things over at St. Mary's Hall potentially as well. We'll see, you know, what all transpires, but keep an eye out. We really want to try to get out there. We never charge for this stuff. We sincerely want to educate the community. And again, that's really the biggest thing as a business that has sort of, you know, re-awoken in us, is to do all we can to come back out and try to reconnect with our communities, our coaches, our clubs, and just stand up guys and stand up individuals in the community to help inform you families and help you take your kids, take control of this process to the best of your ability, and go be successful in it.
Sorry. Great stuff. Yeah. All great stuff.
Thank you.
Again, he is Greg Smith, president of College Promoters USA. We are live here at College Promoters USA headquarters here in San Antonio. One thing I did want to hit on really quick is, I know we've talked about local, but the big thing too is, again, you can find them social media. You can find them on Twitter at SATX Recruiting. You can also find them on Instagram at College Promoters USA. You can also find them. You can also go to their website. Great website. A lot of great info. Coaches that may be listening, all right, college coaches, go to the website, okay? You'll be amazed what you can find. A lot of great stuff on there, collegepromotersusa.com. I know our backdrop here says cpotx.com. I know that was the previous site.
It's still functioning. Like, yeah. You know, my old man.
I imagine it'll direct you to the college promoters.
Absolutely, yeah. Right. And just for whatever, you know, this is what we started as once upon a time. This is our original signage outside our very first office space when my dad ventured out of the home office in 99 and got some space here in town. Was our first signage. So the College Promoters of Texas is what this originally began as. We're College Promoters USA today. I've got some amazing partners in different parts of the country. I'm always looking for, you know, more passionate individuals that sincerely want to bring it to the community. That's really the big difference from us. While we're still very much headquartered here, we're still very much College Promoters of Texas. You know, our whole thing has always been about trying to take this crazy deal my father started once upon a time, and find other individuals out there in different communities that want to bring it the same way. You know, we don't telemarket it. We don't, you know, while Zoom and virtual meetings obviously have become much more normal, that's just still not our preferred method from a business standpoint. We want to meet families. I want, you know, no different than Shane out in Abilene, or heck, if Hector, you know, if I'd have connected with him from El Paso, like, I'd love that. I want boots on the ground in these communities. We don't want to telemarket it. You know, it's just not, it's not for sale. It's something that we want to connect with kids, families, get to know one another. And, you know, that's what our business is all about. So very much still College from Orders of Texas from day one. And so heck, cpotx.com will still bring you right to us. But College from Orders USA, we've got, from Tennessee to Tulsa, we've got a great team just ramping up in Austin. I've got a team out in California even. So we get to get some really cool families and student athletes from all over. And Hector, this is very much something I'm excited to get to engage you with, even with athletes, not just here, you know, like, you'll meet plenty, but we've got kids that I'm excited to just be like, hey man, take a look at this young lady. We've had her for a few months, you know, and give you a chance to help us make sure we're doing our best to market these soccer players, even the ones that aren't here in Texas. So yeah. This will benefit
absolutely
lots of kids.
Absolutely. And that's what one of the things we're excited about, also being able to come on here. You know, we talked about from the sponsorship side as well, with College Promoters USA being the exclusive title sponsor for the 50-50 podcast. That was the first thing that's kind of started all of this, kicked everything off.
Yeah.
And, you know, the big thing is identifying like-minded organizations, like-minded individuals working together, collaborating together, but just that, because of the reach of the podcast, is that this isn't exclusive to just San Antonio. We're looking at the state, obviously across the state, and to a certain extent, because of the podcast, the kind of national reach, right?
Anybody out there that catch into this, like, we want to help anybody, frankly.
Absolutely.
It's just, we're based right here in San Antonio and always trying to build a great team that is sort of the vision ultimately, right? Is having individuals, myself, Hector, John Michael, who snuck by the camera, you know, my team in Tulsa, whoever it might be, all over. Like, I want families in, you know, Omaha, Nebraska, to be able to go meet with somebody under the College Promoters USA umbrella someday and sit in a little office up there and have a very real conversation about what is and isn't doable, the realities of the process, and how to go attack this thing. And so that's the goal. You know, I hope someday from New York, I'm looking at our map up here, you know, from New York to LA and everywhere in between, whatever it is. But it's all about like-minded, quality people. And that's where I'm just, you know, I'm not out here trying to rush this thing. I want to find the right folks, and we're doing it. And Hector is one of them. And we, you know, we're honored to be a part of it. And I love getting a chance to come out here and yell at some families on the internet. I hope any of you out there take anything from it. I appreciate the opportunity.
Absolutely. Yeah. Absolutely. And as well, you know, big, I'm glad to be part of the family, glad to be on board.
Yeah.
And I can tell this is going to be a great fit.
Absolutely.
Very excited. And also shout out also to Big Shane up in Big Country, right? Got to meet him last week. And those of you in the Big Country area, make sure you reach out. He's bringing some big things. Big ideas, very excited. I mean, you can feel the guy's energy is electric the moment you meet him.
That's a good one.
Yeah, no solar jokes
right? But, yes, nice.
But anyway,
And yeah, BCT, no, for whatever it's worth, BCTX _ recruiting is his Twitter that he's operating at the moment.
You say that again one more time for us.
BCTX, Big Country Texas, BCTX _ recruiting on Twitter. Shane Davis, Shane at collegepromotersusa.com. Heck, shoot him an email.
Awesome.
But all up and down our website's wide open. You can see all of our recruits in there, coaches especially. You know, we intentionally don't lock or hide our student athletes. Moms and dads passing by, student athletes, but arguably more importantly, the reason you can just go to our site, go to our recruits, pick your sport, pick your grad year, male, female, whatever it is. All of our athletes are wide open. We really, in our opinion, try to be the most transparent, most importantly for the college coach, to find these kids, evaluate them, and if they like them, help these guys get right to them and connect. And then we're here to try to coach you kids on how to win them over. So
Absolutely.
You know, we appreciate you guys tuning in. Again, I really appreciate the opportunity and hope to get to do some more stuff here in the headquarters, man. We'll get some different angles and different shots of the place too.
It'll be fun. So fortunately or unfortunately for our listeners, depending on how you look at it, this will be the first of many. We'll be broadcasting regularly with Greg. And it brings a lot of great energy, and him and I in a room can be pretty crazy because like no one's getting out for probably a couple hours, you know, but no, it's great stuff. Again, appreciate your time today, Greg. Appreciate being on board as well. For our high school student athletes out there, for our listeners, for our parents, for even our other high school coaches that may be out there listening to it again, hit us up. You can find us. So on the podcast, you can find us at 50_50pod on Twitter, on Instagram at 50_50podcast, College Promoters USA. You can find them on Twitter at SATX Recruiting, on Instagram at College Promoters USA, as well as on their website at collegepromotersusa.com. My final thoughts, again, a lot of professionally, for me personally, it's been a great week. Personally, we're just trying to get into the house, but no, it's been, so I'm very, very proud, very proud of my family, my wife, shout out to my wife and my daughters who have been very, very patient, have taken everything in stride because things haven't exactly played out, the way we would have hoped, but, we'll get it done. We'll get through this. We'll be patient and all things come to, all great things come to those who wait. Also kind of professionally / personally, I know unforeseen circumstances with yourself. Yeah, I really appreciate you still making it a point to be here.
Absolutely.
Good. Nothing, nothing crazy, but do appreciate that as well for what it's worth.
Absolutely.
And last thing I kind of want to share, by no means trying to make this political whatsoever, but with things being the way they are out there right now, talk about the Delta variant and whatnot, just continue to be smart. Continue. If you haven't gotten vaccinated, please consider or please do. And also, again, mask up when you can. When uncertain, when in doubt, mask up. All those things collectively, because it is important. We are ultimately a lot more than just about college recruiting or about soccer. Just want to be able to make sure that we can not go backwards and not be where we were a year ago. Just wanted to share that. Thank you guys for your time. Thank you to our listeners today. Again, it's good to finally get back on a broadcast.
Enjoyed it.
And next broadcast will be coming hopefully in the next couple of weeks. We will keep you posted. For our listeners, for our supporters out there of the 50/50 podcast, we cannot thank you enough. Again, countless number of downloads. The downloads have significantly picked up actually since we've gone a few weeks without broadcasting. Thank you for that. And also, again, being listened to in 9 different countries, Greg. What do you think about that?
I don't know. We have to learn different languages.
Yeah, well, I got 5 covered. You'll have to cover the other 4.
Girls speak Spanish. Right.
There you go. There you go. There you go. All right. So, again, to our listeners, thank you. Our supporters, thank you. Again, to the College of Promoters USA family, thank you for having us. Thank you for having us on board. It's a pleasure. And for our listeners, again, thank you for all you do, and keep downloading and keep listening.